The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Just thank him. Halalabashanda labaratosa. Thank you, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, praise God. Let's be seated. Let's sit down. It's like we're not back from this Easter break. Let's be seated. Let's be seated. Okay. Well, we'll try to tidy up what we've been doing. But what I basically want us to, can we get a second mic? What I want us to do today is, I'll try to bring together everything we've been on for the past 4 weeks. Okay, I'll try to see if we can tie everything up together. We'll start with some questions today. So I would give like 25 minutes to 25, 30 minutes to take our questions on spiritual gifts, please. Only spiritual gifts. Don't ask about relationship, just spiritual gifts. Amen. Amen. No. Praise God. So we'll take our question on spiritual gifts. Everything we've addressed, how to flow. You know, actually, the teaching on spiritual gifts can take a whole year. I'm telling you, they can do a series that will last for like 60 sessions on spiritual gifts. I will not still be done. So what I'm saying is, there is no way I would have addressed everything in these four weeks now. Today is the fifth. And so, let me see. If you have questions, if you cannot talk, you write. If you cannot write, you talk. So we'll take like some questions. We'll take the families to do that while I bring everything we've been talking about. We'll tie it up and then we'll pray. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's see. Can I get questions? Things that has to do with the gift itself or the flow, the exercise, something you don't understand, something that you try to do that did not work. Okay.
It's something that is just a little puzzling for me. I believe we are supposed to flow in all the spiritual gifts, prophecy, speaking in tongues, interpretation. But then, when you come to the Ephesians, talking about the gifts that they gave, apostle, prophet, I want to understand, because at some point they will say the prophet has his office to prophesy, but then believers are still expected to prophesy. So I want to understand.
Okay, so I think the Ephesians 4:11, you know what he's talking about now? He gave some apostles and to some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Ephesians 4 talks about what, do I like referring to? I refer to that ministry gifts. It refers to people and not to healing, miracles, refer to gifts. Ephesians 4 refers to people. Apostle is a person, prophet. So the way the likes of Brother Hagen will put it, he will call it offices. Okay, Ephesians 4 refers to ministry offices. Now, the confusion, like you use the, let me use the prophetic for an example now. There is, when it comes to prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, is not limited to the office of the prophet. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us, if you check these offices, it's actually four. But you know, let's not get to the arguments now. It's actually four. You see apostle, prophet, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's actually for you observe, the pastor and the teacher refers to the same office. Okay? And if you're doubting that, well,
I will leave you to just think about it. Where will the teacher walk? He'll walk in the church. You get the point? Who will he be teaching? Believers. What's that? Pastoring. So I don't, it's just, but what I'm saying is, if you analyze these four offices, one thing you would find out is, the Bible tells us, or gives us, the general function of all the offices. In that Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And he gave some apostles, and others prophets, and others evangelists, and some others pastors and teachers, for the perfection of the saints. So all these offices have same function. You only notice slight difference. Now that slight difference will be observed in where they function. So what I would say is, thank you. What I would say is, everybody can function in the gifts of the Spirit, but some are still given ministry offices. That does not mean that only the prophet should prophesy, because the work of a prophet is way beyond prophecy, as it were. Prophecy is just one of the gifts that he would exercise, but there are many other things he will do, which some of them are listed in that Ephesians 4, perfection of the saints, edification of the church, and what have you. The teaching of ministry office, another, for instance, the pastor. Every believer is meant to teach people the word of God. Every believer. But the pastor has a responsibility, an office of teaching people the word. Same with the prophet. But what you find the prophet of the New Testament doing, what you find them doing most times, or where people are well taught, is bringing people into, let me use the word, bringing them into the flow. What we might refer as prophetic gifts are prophecy, word of wisdom, discernment of spirit. You'll find many prophets helping believers to flow in these gifts more. Okay, so they'll flow in it more perfectly and easily, but they will also be involved in maturing believers, most times helping them flow in it. That's what you find out, that the likes of Kenneth Hagin did with almost all his life. You know, he spent most of his time bringing believers with Rema Bible College. A lot of people were taught how to work in interpret tongues and what have you in his meetings. So what I'm saying is, these offices, every believer can do any of these things, but we more than give you some offices. And why I don't want to go deep into offices is, by the time I start explaining, you find out. Let me give you an example with Kenneth Hagin now. I don't know why I'm talking about him this period. But you observe, Hagin started his ministry as a pastor. You observe that? He pastored for 7 years. After 7 years, the Lord said, okay, you have to stop now. And he went into the fields. That's more or less like the work of an evangelist. So he began to do the evangelistic and what have you. And then after like 3 years, he started functioning in the prophetic office. He went into the job of a prophet. But notice, it does not mean, because people have held on to this, to say that there are levels. You know, somebody said, before you become an apostle, you cannot just jump into being an apostle. You have to first of all become a teacher. You know, from there you now become a pastor. From there, an evangelist, then a prophet, then finally get to the apostolic. That's the part we call bishop. In the way you get it. But those are not true. That just offices given to people. Sometimes God can lead you differently. Someone like Benny Hinn started his ministry as a pastor. I don't know if you know. He had a church, he was pastoring for a very long time. It was at a time he had to stop and went into the fields and become an evangelist, just began to travel up and down. You get the point? So people start addressing ministry in different ways. So it's all about leading, how God leads you to walk. So, but people normally ask me, how do I know my ministry office or ministry gift? Well, many things I can say. Prayer, of course, is obviously one of the major. But sometimes I tell people, instead of killing yourself to know, as you are trying to know where God has called you, I give this advice when it comes to ministry. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it well. You get the point? Whatever your hand, I've heard people, I've seen people that got into error because of some of this ministry of sin. They were in church doing well. Suddenly, they had this calling, you are meant to be a prophet. Boom, they run out of the church. They're walking up and down, prophesying, giving people prophecy up and down. No. Whatever your hand, but as you mature and try to find your ministry office and what have you, whatever your hand finds to do, do it. What I mean is, if you're in church and you are to lead the choir well, you have to do this, do it. The office will come and you will find a place, because at the end of the day, this office will function better and more perfectly in the local church at the end of the day. Even what you call the work of an evangelist that happens outside of the church. The idea is still to bring people into the church. I don't know what I'm talking about. So at the end of the day, what I'm saying is, the gifts of the Spirit work and flowing gifts of the Spirit. When it comes to ministry offices, we are given specific responsibilities. You get the point? And you can prayerfully find what that is. But till you do that, just whatever you have. So why I said, till you do that, whatever you have finds to do, just do it very well. Do it very well. Because sometimes, that's what I want to get into. Let's leave it there. But you get what I'm saying? So there are offices given to people, quite all right, okay? But then every believer can function in the gifts of the Spirit. So the teaching on ministry offices or ministry gifts is a different teaching on its own. The apostle has a responsibility. Those things, they don't refer to titles, they refer to responsibilities. The apostle has a responsibility. The prophet has a responsibility. The evangelist has a responsibility. The pastor, they have what they're doing. They have jobs. But then whether you are this, and there's an argument that some people believe, I don't know, where do you stand? Some believe that every believer is called at least into one ministry office. Others believe that everybody is not called into a ministry office. So where do you stand? Where do you stand? Do you believe that every believer is called, every believer has at least one ministry office? Where do you stand? This must not be correct. Where do you stand? What do you believe? What do you believe? Everybody is not called, eh? It's one office, okay? Okay. You don't believe. Believe some are called. how I say it, actually, every believer has something he's called to do. Some discover it, some don't discover it. That is one. Two, every believer has what he's called to do, but it's not enough to know I'm called to do this. You must also pray for direction. For instance, some people are called. It doesn't mean that they are meant to go and start a church. You get the point? See, it's not just enough to know. Some are called to be evangelists. It doesn't mean they must have an evangelical team like Christ for All Nations, you know, Red Bunky. It doesn't mean. Some can just be in church, fulfill the work, do the work of an evangelist like Paul told Timothy. So everybody has a calling, has a responsibility, I believe. Some discover it, some don't discover it. Have you noticed that when you stay around church a lot, a good church, you somehow begin to feel like you have a calling? It's just spiritual growth happening. So I tell people, we don't necessarily receive a calling into ministry, we grow into it. We grow into realization of the fact that we have a calling in God. Some do, some don't. You get the point? But the only thing I want to say is that how people are entirely different. For instance, some are called to be evangelists. It doesn't mean, like I said, they should have an evangelical team. They can just be in church, doing their thing, reaching out to people in their own way. You get the point? Some are called to be apostles. It doesn't mean they must carry their Bible and go to, you know, what you find the apostles doing was going on missions to lands that have never heard the gospel at all. It doesn't mean they must do that, as it were. Okay? So when you get, God says this is it, pray further for direction. I tell people, when you hear from God, like when I got to know, one, I hated the pastoral office with passion. And it's because I was taught wrongly when I was growing up. I was meant to believe that there are hierarchies of offices, you know, and then the pastoral should be the smallest. Of course, pastor and teacher is just second to last. So I wanted either the prophetic, you know, that one I can see, or the apostolic, that I wanted this badly. But so everything that God was saying to me, I refused to hear it. One day I was studying the Bible and I saw, I read John 21, where Paul told Peter, do you love me? You know that place? Jesus told Peter. And he said, feed my flock. God said to me, I heard him clearly. He said, this is your job. I said, it's not possible. Me, I want, I've told you what I want. And then it continued like that. Visions, people are talking. I didn't want to be anything. But when I finally accepted the job or the role of the fact that, okay, you're called to be a pastor. Okay, even though there are some other things I will not say now. But when I said the road that I was going to pastor, it made me pray. One, I belong to a particular denomination. Okay,
which I loved as at then all my heart. In fact, I believe that that denomination was going, it was the denomination that God was going to use to change the world. That was my belief. So I didn't, and my father did a work in that same denomination. So it wasn't even an option. Leaving is not, it was not an option. I liked very well. So I was already, planning to, you know, you understand now, get into the pastoral college of La Pascale. It was all my dream. In fact, when I finished secondary school, I told my mom and my siblings that I was not going to go to the university. Okay, that I wanted to go straight into pastoral college. Thank God for counsel. They now said, it's good, it's okay, Sha, but why not, let's go to school first. And I said, okay. Let me just obey you people. But you know, the thing was just doing me. I've heard from God. So my point, when you hear some of this thing, just calm down a little. You understand? Find out, get direction. So it was now, is one day. I've told you guys, sorry, for one guy, a girl called me. I've no, you know, I trained her some time back. We stopped talking. So she chatted me up, was like, please, I want to talk to you. Maybe night call. Remember night call? Days of night call. I want to talk to you. Night call. I said, okay. So she called, I was like, why? She said, what I want to talk to you about is, we don't finish. No, I don't have enough time for that. So she called at night, so we talked. And so she told me she saw a vision, and in that vision, there was a pastor, that she saw a big hall, and people were there, plenty of people, and they were there doing church, and she saw the pastor was the one. Well, I didn't quarrel with that, because of course, I knew I was going to be a pastor. But she said, she belonged to my denomination, Sha. But she said there was something strange about the vision. And in that vision, I was dressed in a way that pastors of that denomination don't dress. At that point, I was dressed in, you know, a more, you understand. And I was doing things, I don't want to give you details, I was doing things that pastors of that denomination don't do, you know. So I said, okay, so what do you think? She said, I think the Lord is saying in the future you're going to pastor, but it will not be in this denomination. So I started laughing. After laughing, I told her, see, even we should be eating before you sleep. And I made a mess of the whole thing. Next day I called my friends. I said, can you imagine what this guy was telling me? Me that he stay here till I die. You know this kind of, I was born a this, I will die a this. You don't know. So, that was it. That was the first revelation. I didn't want to come there because I already had something in my mind I was going to do. I entered school. Even when the name, when I had already written down the name, Platform of Grace, in my notes, I did not see what it was. I think it was one of our pastors now. I think it was Pastor Chidi. One day, he just came to my note and saw Pastor. I said, Papa, what is this? I said, I don't know. And I said, the name just came like that. I just wrote it down and left it. I was like, so, many people began to talk. If somebody came to me, she came, she said vision. And in that vision, I was standing in front of a very big forest. And then I was with a cutlass. And then the instruction was to clear the place. I was to clear the place. So I told her, okay, what does it mean? He said, the Lord is saying, the work I want you to do, you have not started it. It's a new work. I said, you better mind yourself. I was very angry because then, you know, now our CWF coordinator, we had about 7 different territories. We were doing well. I was like, what kind of clevish grass? All this one I've been doing, I've not started. I fought the whole pastoral whatever. Okay, but then finally, the clarity began to come. You know, sometimes when God is talking to you, to hear him, you have to just, you know, sometimes when some of you come to me to talk, I just ask one question. Do you really want to do the will of God? You know, some people don't want to. Especially when it has to do with something you've already decided on before, like relationship. I normally ask questions because relationship. When I say, sir, after I just say, do you want to do the will of God? It's a tough question. Do you really want to hear what God wants to say? You know, sometimes you don't pray because you don't want him to talk. Like, I don't talk. Just keep whatever you want to say to yourself. Come and scatter my life. You know, you know, somebody said something on Facebook, say you'll be looking for bae. For long, you finally get one, go and I say no. So okay, don't take this. You know, so but I didn't want to hear what he had to say, but what I wanted. So my point is, when you have a leading, get clarity, okay? Every evangelist must not run Christ for all nations. Must, but you get the point. Then every pastor mustn't. If a pastor, there are different ways, and some pastors are actually supposed to start a church. You get the point? Start a new work, it's there. I don't know how, why God does it that way, but that's how it is. Some people are meant to start something. You get the point? Uh-huh. Every prophet is not meant to function in a particular way. Some pastors would have been doing well. Okay, doing well, I'm not talking about crowd. Doing well, I'm talking about impact. If they had stayed under whatever church they were in and grow there, and then possibly even pastor a branch of that but same church, you get the point, they would do better. But you know, sometimes ambition becomes bigger than vision. Ambition becomes bigger than passion. So we follow the ambition. And then when I meet such people, because the thing, once you do that, along the line, you will know you are in error. You know you are making a mistake. Once I meet them, I just say, Sioga, close that church. Sometimes it's wise to just follow God's leading. You get the point? Just a lot of people are pastoring where they shouldn't pastor. Sometimes strive. Maybe somebody annoyed you in the church and you just get angry. Is it because I'm even here? You know that kind of attitude. And then they go. Later, they find out that, okay, I should have actually been here. So just follow proper leading of the Spirit. It will help, okay? Another question? Spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, prophecy, tongues, healing, working of miracles. Okay. Anyone? Okay.
About words of knowledge and prophesying and all that. I went for evangelism, so I wanted to be intentional about getting words for people. But the words are yes, I said I wanted to be intentional about getting words for people, but it seemed I was getting words, but the people were not confirming it to be correct. Then when I later sat down to think about it, I now learned I was getting words for other, like I went to, I heard the word Chinelo, I now asked you 19 and no. It was later I now sat down and saw that the word was for even myself about someone I was following up. So I don't know, how do I, and then how to get words quickly, because sometimes I start preaching, before I finish the preaching and everything, the word has not come.
Well, good thing is you sat down to think. Let me give an example. In Acts chapter 27, when they were traveling on the high sea, okay, Paul gave a word. Most of us don't see it like that, but Paul gave a word. He said, I perceive that this ship now, how did he even put it? That the life of everybody in this, there's a put it, good Acts 27, let me show you. He said something that he later corrected in a way. And I'll tell you how to deal with that. Acts 27. Yes, Acts 27 verse, that's the first place Paul talked about. Verse 10. I said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the laden and sheep, but also of our lives. You see the word he gave? People are going to be hurt. The sheep is going to be hurt. You get the point? But if you read down later, Paul now said, please friends, the angel of the Lord stood by me, and what he actually said is that the voyage and what have will be lost, but nobody's lives. Again, get it? Nobody's life will hurt. So sometimes, I think what verse is that? I think 21. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not, okay. Then now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Verse 23, and I said, for there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I have served, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought to Caesar and all that and all that. Okay, yes, 26, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no life among you, but of the sheep. You see, what he now said is different from what he said previously. Like what I'm saying. Now, what happens is, that's why sometimes the more you go with words, because I'll still get to that. That's what I'm going to, that's what I'll exhort you on. That's consistency. The only key is to be consistent. And then, don't be too proud in exercising spiritual gifts to admit that you made a mistake here. You get the point? Consistency will help. For instance, okay, you guys were there, some Sundays ago, when I gave somebody a word about, I talked about someone that the roommate was sick. You remember that? And then the person was, I said, the person is in Nsukka or so, something like that. The person is in UNN. Yes, I said UNN. Okay, I said UNEC. Yes. I said the person is in UNEC. And then the guy stood up and said, yes, it's actually true, but the person is in UNN. You get the point? And I've explained that what happened that day to you. What I actually saw in the spirit was someone that was sick. The person's roommate was here, but the person was in UNN. You get the point? But that the person was in Enugu at the same time. I saw UNN, I saw Enugu. So I now use my head to join everything together and said, University of Nigeria, Enugu campus. But what actually happened was, the guy was in UNN, but as at the time I was talking, it was the hospital in Enugu here. I didn't get the point. So I messed up the whole thing. It didn't mean what I got was wrong. I just didn't place it correctly. Do you understand what I'm saying now? How to be out of that stuff is consistency. Just continue. And then sometimes when words come, let me use this word, take a few minutes to process it. When I mean process it, because people will try to process words, and what they're doing is that they're involving their mind. That one is wrong. You don't think over words. If you think over words, the things that are coming to your head is, what if it's not correct? But you can spend some time praying over it to get sometimes clarity. I recommend this most times when we're dealing with visions. Paul had a vision. Bible said why he thought on the vision. I'm sorry, Peter rather. Why he thought on the vision, the Holy Ghost now said. So sometimes you just calm down to process what you got, you get burned, get clarity on what actually is it. I get the point. Uh-huh. And then getting words very quickly. Well, the thing is, talking about word of knowledge, is the way you see someone, everything you want to know about the person is your spirit man. And that's where consistency comes in. If you continue doing it, you will be able to easily pick up. I was one of my friends that is very, that guy, when it comes to the prophetic, you know, he's so shy, he has sharpened himself, he has a sharpened pencil. Has sharpened. Sometimes he'll just look at you and will tell you, maybe anything, he will just look at you, it could just be anything. He could see a bottle by your side. It has interpreted something to him. He will just pick it up and start talking to you and like, are you sure? Are you serious? This is very correct. So, but how it happens, you have to just sharpen yourself prophetically. How do you do that? Just continue. You get the point? Continue. The reason many people don't go, okay, let me be very practical here. You know all these popular prophets in this country? You know the popular ones that can give name, give phone number. You know them now. Go check them. You don't know this kind of prophet I'm talking about. Those are that will tell you the color of your underwear. Everything, I've seen it. Most of them, when they started, or before they started that, it was not as clear. But what you find out is that the more they continued giving the word, the more they began to get clearer and clearer with it. Which is why one of the instructions I'm going to give you before we go today is that you must always take advantage of moments to function in the gift of the Spirit. If you don't do it, no matter how long we teach. That's why you find out that, okay, let me give you this example. That's why you find out that once people become pastors, like once they have a church they oversee, they become more accurate in the things of the Spirit. Why? They have an opportunity to do it almost every day. I don't even get the point. So that's why you always do it. Okay? And then you spoke of one experience of trying to pray for someone. Let me address that issue now. It's about working of miracle healing. We have the power of God in us. The truth of the matter is, I'm going to say this, not for you to expect failure, for you to interpret failure correctly. There is nobody, no matter how powerful the person was, that never had a case of a failed attempt to pray for, to heal the sick.
Nobody. Are you hear what I'm saying? Nobody, no matter. In fact, let me tell you, you know spiritual ghost what? It is believed that one of the things that killed spiritual ghost what? Was frustration. The story, before he died, they were at a friend's burial, so he was actually going up a staircase and met somebody. And it wasn't, he prayed for the woman, lady's mom, or be dad, I can't remember. I was like, okay, how is he? It was like, man, things got worse. It's not even getting any better. You know that kind of thing. So he just bowed his head, waved his head, and just went up and laid down. But before they could come upstairs, he had died. So people sometimes say that, like, he so much wanted to see the sick healed that the same frustrated him to death, you know, whatever. But what I'm saying, in case of failed attempts, foolishness is to say that this did not work. Because I will tell you why things fail. Foolishness is to say this did not work. This thing is fake. And when you're saying it, you're forgetting that there are many other things that have worked. I give an example of raising the dead. Have I gone to raise the dead and it worked? Yes, so. Have I gone to raise the dead and it did not work? Yes. I've had three or four cases with raising the dead. I've had only one that failed. And that one that failed was the least I expected it was going to fail because of where I was coming from. We were having a long retreat, a 3 days retreat. So in the midst of the retreat, they called us. Say, Pastor, somebody just died. I say, come. They brought the car. You know that kind of, you know, I was going with, man, we've been with the Lord 3 days. So I just entered, I just drove, got to the place. And when I got there, I saw plenty of people that were there. You know, they said, they have come. You know that kind of atmosphere. But actually, Sha, the guy did not rise. He prayed and prayed. The guy did not rise. I left. Well, I can tell you why he did not rise. And I'll get to that shortly. But what I'm saying is, please and please, handle failure correctly. There are cases, because this is what they do. I don't know whether I'm attacking any ministry, but this is what they do. That they call branding in ministry. Do you know that in some of these ministries, they so much edit their videos that the ones that did not work, they will not show you. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm telling you, in this, some of them, I've been in a meeting. They just prayed. The guy was blind. They prayed. The guy did not see. Prayed. The guy did not see. Next thing, camera just shifted. He went to the next person. And you know, when you watch it, you will not see it. Do you get the point? That's why I like, you know, if you know Todd White. Todd White, he does healing on the streets and stuff. That was one of his meetings, all his street healing that I watched. So it was just, he entered the streets with his camera and water to you, give you a word about a sickness in your body, pray for you, preach the gospel to you. So this continued. People are getting healed. A lot of, but there was a particular case he met. This guy, he had an amputated leg, you know. So he prayed. The guy didn't get well. He prayed. The guy didn't get well. So he just faced the camera and said, well, to be sincere, I've never seen this kind of miracle in my ministry. I'm not seeing it, but I strongly believe that we will see this in not long from now. I didn't get the point. Now there was no, it wasn't hypocrisy. There was no, self in the whole thing. Do you know what I'm saying? This is something we would have just cut out, just cut that part, remove it. Let's say we don't know it did not work. What I'm saying is when you try to pray for the sick and didn't see results, please try again. Now, as per reasons why people cannot be healed, there are plenty. One of them is sometimes people you are praying for don't see you as anything. And when people don't believe in you as something, they will not get healed by your hands. I'm just telling you the truth. It's only a very few cases. That's why when we come to healing meetings, we preach the word. Don't take this too far. But I was teaching them something. I said, you see church. You see, this is church. You see how I enter here. How I just entered now. Sometimes you even come to carry my Bible, I say, leave it. If I go to a miracle meeting like all these crusades, you won't see me enter like this. I'm just telling you. You will not see me enter like this. You will see me with my protocol. I'm telling you. Do you know why? Human beings are created to be carnal. If you just come and you're playing with them, carrying instruments with them, you now want to pray for the sick. They will not see you as anything. But when that man of God lands with private jet, bam, and just comes out, they say, he has arrived. Once he does that, he gets well. I told you something about William Branham. William Branham will always ask you,
He said, one thing he was always doing, he would just ask you, do you believe that I'm a man of God? I'm a man sent from God. You get the point? If you don't, so my point is not to be physical about it. I just, as I said, don't take it too far. Okay? But what I'm saying is, when people don't get well, don't push the whole blame on yourself. It's also a game of the devil. I didn't get the point. Don't look at, what did I not do well? Maybe I did not pray very well. This is something a game of the devil. When you pray for people and they don't get well, what I would advise you to do is pray over the whole thing. If you have opportunity, go back. One reason I told you is what I just mentioned now. Second reason, that could be, okay, what other reason could there be? Maybe the person isn't following the teaching. Let me give you guys an example. That day we had Giving God here, you know that meeting? You know that man that he brought that didn't get well here, that later got well later? Remember what I'm saying? Do you know what I was praying for that man? I knew he would not get well. And he asked me why. I can tell you plainly, when I was preaching, he was sleeping. I'm just telling you practically. When I was preaching, he was sleeping. So he didn't even hear anything I said. I didn't get the point. So all the negative notions he had about God and healing, they were still in his head. So everything I was doing, I was just... So that's why I said go. So sometimes just that, say, just go. Go home. Get this message. Get this. Listen to it. When you are done, come back. A man told a story. He came, you know, a woman came for the fruit of the womb, baby. You know this kind of fruit of the womb thing? I want a child. So the woman came. The man, after listening to the woman talk, he's one of my mentors anyway. After listening to the woman talk, he said he knew. There was nobody wasting prayer on this woman. He now said, bring, packed like 4 or 5 CDs. Say, go and listen to it. I know religion is bad. So the lady just picked the CD, looked at the title. You know, the CD was about bad things, evil, Satan. And I said, hey, I know the devil is involved in this. After the man finished, the man said, what you are seeing is actually the opposite of what is in the tape. Go and listen to it. She went up, she kept the tape. 6 months, she didn't touch it. Once in a while, she will call the man, sir, nothing has happened. He said, have you listened to the message? So one day, because she just got the message, you know, this kind of, as if the answer is in the message, she listened to it and called and said, sir, I've listened to it. Say, listen to it again. You get the point? Listen to it again, you know? It was like, after much, she finally accepted the word, went over it again, and then, okay. One day called the man and said, finally, now I see what I've been doing wrong. Sometimes, you don't totally put the blame on yourself for your problems and they don't work. It's easier. Okay, have you observed that sometimes it's easier to see the sea get healed in some kind of meetings? I go to some meetings. Let me give you an example. I go to some meetings, maybe morning session, night session. I can pray for you in the night session. I just pray for you. Don't get well. I'll say, come in the morning. You know why? I know the kind of meeting we are going to have in the... I didn't get the point. And let me tell you what influences that sometimes. You notice when we hold miracle services, you notice one person will come and give testimony, others will not start getting healed. Their faith has been stretched to receive whatever is happening in the meeting. My point remains that there are, for instance, let me refer to that reason of dead issue. That did not work. What happened in that environment is the place was so much filled with doubts that the doubt was trampling on my own faith. Because before I came, they had been praying. You get the point? A very long time. Different prayer groups gathered and they were praying. And I noticed they just called us to come and contribute our own prayers. So when we came, it was looking like, okay, these people have come. Let's give them a chance. Let them pray their own. So that we'll all continue praying. So the whole environment was so that nothing would have done. The easiest thing to do then would have been to send everybody out. You get the point? Everybody just go. Let's just stay here alone. Let me know it. I'm dealing with. But then there was so much doubt in the environment. I had this story with Andrew Womack. You know, whites can be more practical than us. Say it was in a meeting. They brought a blind person also. I can't remember. And he prayed. The guy didn't get well. He said he sensed there was so much doubt in the building. So he now said, how many of you really believe that this guy can get well? People, they say no. Like, how many of you believe that he can see? And I know. There was a way he put it and then,
Only people raise their hand. He now said, please don't be offended. Others just leave the building. I'm telling you. He sent all of them out of the building. Lock the door and stay the door. Wait, but it doesn't become in. He wants to keep my feet. You know, we might not get to that extreme, but sometimes you don't put the blame on yourself. Even in the greatest of miracle meetings I've attended. Who has ever been to a miracle service? Not held by any small minister, maybe held by Reverend Dr. Omokpa, Pastor Chris Oyakilome. Have you seen people go home sick? Have you? I've seen. After everything, people get ill though. So still go home and are sick. It doesn't mean the man has a problem. There are many things I may not be able to explain. Sometimes you don't know why. That's why I said if you have the opportunity, just go home, pray. When you pray, go back. You get the point? Some people, that's why sometimes you notice ministers that run healing school, people hardly not don't get healed in healing schools. Why? Because over such a, over like 2-3 weeks, you've been taught the word. You've seen testimonies, you've seen things happen. Sometimes even before the end of the healing school, already healed. So there are many things we can't explain. But don't ever let such things trample on your feet. Get the point? If you see the next person, go and confront the person and pray for the person. You get the point? And if the person you prayed for is such that you have the opportunity to go back and pray again. Okay?
In praying for somebody, is it compulsory to get word for the person? Can you just pray in tongues? Maybe pray in tongues for the person, like after 30 minutes, you don't give the person words. You just go something.
It's not a must. It's not a must to get for somebody. You know, I told you something. You are in charge of this whole thing. This supernatural. Paul said in that 1 Corinthians 14, he said, let him that prays in tongues pray to interpret. So it tells you that you can actually pray to interpret. You can actually decide not to interpret. You get the point? You can simply say, okay, let's pray and just pray for you. Okay? And then, but getting one for people is not bad, but it's not like a must that, okay, when I pray for you, I must get a word for you. Okay? But when the word comes, don't hesitate to share it. Okay? But it's not a must. You can pray for somebody and decide, okay, I'm not going to get anything for you. I'm just going to pray for you. Okay, and prayer sometimes is not always to get what. Sometimes when I pray for people's finance, for instance, the solution might be giving me a word of direction to do this about his finance. Sometimes your prayer does not need a word. Your prayer just needs to fix up the situation. It just needs to arrange the situation. So, word or no word, there's nothing is compulsory. I'll take like one more then. Question, spiritual gift. Don't come and ask me. I won't answer. You see, if you have it, and I just ask it now. Okay. Well, that's that about the gift of the spirit. So, but let me. I want to give us 5 instructions before I leave you. We close it for today. Now, I was thinking about this. I will talk about how to keep yourself always in the flow of the supernatural. Always keeping yourself in the flow. We notice that sometimes we flow in the spirit, okay, when we come to church or when we are taught on these things. But then at a time, it looks like it ceased for some time. Of course, the foundation of all of them is knowledge. But then sometimes you even have knowledge. You know the Holy Ghost will not leave you. You know all that and all that and all that. But then you still find it. And it will just, it looks like sometimes you even lose consciousness of everything. Sometimes it's looking like this thing flows better. Some other times it's looking like, okay, there is a slowing down. I'm just going to give you 5 instructions. Number one is what I've been saying since morning. Pray in the Holy Ghost often. Friends, I don't want to say this thing so that it would sound to you like a normal thing. If you don't cultivate the habit of praying in tongues often, you will not be able to flow in spiritual. I can tell you the truth. Praying in tongues has a way of building up your spirit man. And so what I mean praying the Holy Ghost often, I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost, not just creating a prayer time. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Make it drive, pray in the Holy Ghost. You get the point? As you are driving, as you are eating, as you are buffing, make it a constant. It keeps you mentally, I don't know whether I'm using the right words, keeps you mentally or spiritually alert, whichever one. Do you get the point? Pray in the Holy Ghost often. So, a prayer time is good. Create a prayer time. But when you are done,
please make a culture. You know, when people, sometimes there was a time it was raining, I think it's still raining now, in the Nigerian church. And what was raining was about we have 8 hours praying in tongues. You've heard all those talks. So, well, I'm not against it. We do it here. We pray in tongues a lot, and I encourage we do it often. But listen to me. I asked one of them, he said we have 6 hours praying in tongues. I asked him, after today, will you pray tomorrow? He said, what do you mean? I said, you know, when you pray in tongues for 6 hours today, make sure you pray tomorrow again. You don't stop prayer. Say, all the prayer I'm going to pray next month, say them, let me pray them now. 13 hours praying in tongues. And when I'm done, constantly pray in the Holy Ghost. What I'm talking to you about is one of the ways to even keep yourself spiritual. Let me use the word spiritually alert. To know. You know, sometimes, I was giving an example the other day. Sometimes, when there is a situation to demonstrate the supernatural, it's after the situation has come and gone that you just remember that, man, I would have done something supernatural. That has happened to you. Sometimes, maybe somebody faints or dies, whichever one. It's after the whole thing has passed that you remember, Kai, I've just raised this guy. I let me get the point. Some other times, there is situation to give a word, you know, how to keep yourself alert, always know, so that it doesn't run out of your mind, is spend a lot of time praying in tongues. That's why I told you when I was teaching you tongues. Tongues sometimes looks like a gateway into so many other spiritual gifts. When you keep yourself alert with praying in the Holy Ghost, always, you are training yourself to always receive from the Spirit. Just like word of knowledge that you are asking about. Praying in tongues has a way of keeping you spiritually sensitive at all times to pick things from your spirit man. You know, words come from your spirit man, hope you know. And they come to your mind. You know, it's your mind that receives words, not your spirit. Your spirit knows it. Your mind receives it. Praying in tongues has a way of quietening your mind to receive from the spirit. Sometimes you notice, you know, you don't always have to pray in tongues to receive a word. But sometimes, if I'm traveling now, I travel maybe from Abeokuta to Enugu for a meeting. On the road, a lot of things have gone in my head. Many things, the driver, the conductor have insulted somebody. You know, all those things are just in your mind. So when you get to meetings sometimes one way to calm yourself down is just pray. So make it constantly keep yourself aware of such things. We saw in Acts 27, even while they were traveling on the highway, Paul was sensitive of the spirituals, that he was able to get a word for them. He was not their pastor, he was just a co-traveler. But because he was conscious and sensitive of the spirituals happening around him, he was able to get those words. Are you getting this? So spend a lot of time praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to talk about fasting too. You know, fasting. I know you don't like this one. What is fasting? Okay, let me see. Why do we fast? To keep your under, to discipline your body. You don't mean it. Well, first thing I'm going to say is that fasting is not outdated. Fasting is not bad. Okay? But you learn to fast for the right reasons. One of the wrong reasons to fast is, I want to get this from God, so I'm going to fast. What fasting simply does is, forget disciplining your body, forget all those English. I'm not saying it's bad. Anyway, if you want to fast to discipline your body, to deal with your body, do it. Okay, but one thing fasting does is that fasting keeps you aware of the supernatural, of the spirituals. Let me tell you how I fast most times. If I want to fast, I say, pray. Apart from maybe we put a general church fast, which I fix at times, and then maybe you have to go to work. If I want to make out and fast, I do it at least once every month. I take 3 days off. Now, some of those 3 days, we call it, my number is not going through. I'll take 3 days off. I'll locate a guest house or a retreat center. I spend 3 days there. That's a way of keeping me in shape. Are you getting the point? I do it often. I don't like getting too busy that I will not do it. When I get there, you know, I learned this from some men. So the life of Kenneth Hagin will tell you he fasts for 21 days.
And when I first said it, I was like, wow. You know, without food and water for 21 days. But what Kegin does is, he said, he goes to church. For the whole 21 days, he's in church. He eats sometimes only once a day. Why will he eat once a day? Well, because if you're fasting that kind of long, you can get so much into the fast that you're not even receiving from God again. You'll be receiving from hunger. I'm telling you, you can get a fast. Don't think I have not done it. And before you know, it becomes normal religion. It just becomes a ritual. I fasted for 3 days. That before the end of the fast, I was not praying. I was thinking in tongues. I just sat down. You know. And I don't like thinking in tongues in the Bible. I hope you know. You know. So sometimes, you know. So what I noticed what he said he does is, sometimes once a day, he'll just come. Maybe evening 5, 6, 7, he would eat something, rest. Then pray, study throughout. You know that kind of thing. You know, you're keeping yourself in the hole. So fasting necessarily is not actually, I'm staying off food. Food actually, why you stay off food when you fast, is that you stay, because food can be a distraction. You keep off distraction. There was a kind of fast you see that Daniel did in the book of Daniel. Bible says he stayed off every choice food. I've seen it in the Bible. Choice food. So, possibly he was on vegetables or stuffs like that. The idea of the vegetable and what have you, you know, to keep yourself alive so that you will not die. You understand? But then food can be a distraction before you go, cook, come, the whole time. But try it this period. Bring out 2 days or 3 days. Go stay on your own. Go. What do you go with? I will encourage you go with your phone. Maybe because there are messages on your phone. But keep your SIM card at home. If you're not disciplined enough not to play game on your phone, you know, uninstall the game. Remove the pictures. Just go with your phone, messages, books, your Bible, your pen. Stay there for 3 days. Go with money too. You need it. Once in a while in the evening, come out, buy something. I'm not teaching you easy Christianity. This is it. If you like, go to the mountain, stay for 7 days. I saw people fasting for 7 days. We went there to fast for 3 days. I saw this one small girl. They want 7 days. That day was the fourth and the fifth day for them. So one of them walked up to the leader. He said, Ika Agugom. The leader was like, we almost just hang on. Just hang on. You know, and you know, the funny thing, I thought maybe when they finish, I'll be hearing their names all over the world as the letters burning in. I did not hear anything. I said, this is serious. Some of them are not even doing church again. You know, because the whole idea is, let's discipline our flesh. Let's make ourselves. No, that's not the idea. But you see, God is you will really break down before you are done. You break down totally. You don't need God. You know, let me give you an example. I had ignorance here. If I died that, I don't know what I've told my father now. I'm telling you. We were on a fast 3 days. Now, we're fasting, you know where I live? We're fasting in the school environment. So, on the third day of the fast, something dramatic happened in the school hostel. You know, school hostel now, guest hostel. They said they came out, it was raining, they saw somebody that appeared. Somebody that was wearing white, appearing something, and then jumped into the water and began to swim in the water, and many students were drowned. You know, some of these demonic things. So when it happened, they called their principal. So the principal of the school told them to look for any man of God around that will come and, you know, pray and conduct deliverance, do you understand, on the students and come and pray for the hostel. Okay, I had to enter the hostel anyway. So they came to the church. You know, they know me now. If you know where I stay, popular man of God that year. You know, came and won. They didn't know one fast, but they just knew they were farming in chapel. This was the third day of a 3 days fast. When I mean 3 days fast, it's not this type. I'm telling you, no food, no water. And so they invited us to come, and they begged us. I told them, we'll come tomorrow. They said, no, this night, sir. There is so much fear. There's so much this in the hostel. So much demonic things. And I accepted. Now, look at what, you know, the normal thing to do then
would have been to take something light. I hope you know. I'm just telling you the truth. Just eat. Just hobele, as in, why I did not. I went like that. Now, this is a very big school. And there was no microphone. It was an impromptu program. There was no microphone that could even amplify my voice. So I just got there. I started preaching first. I just preached. Preached, God can do. I just talk. And then I'll say, we're going to pray. My mistake was to raise a song. Secondary school, I raised the song. They collected the song. I couldn't control the crowd again. I was so hungry to even shout. At a time, I thought I was going to die. I'm not joking. I thought I was going to collapse. I called my friends. I went to some of my friends. That also helped me. They had to hold me. And I stood. They thought it was anointing moving me. It's not anointing. I was so tired. I thought I was going to die the next minute. So I just finished ministering to them. I don't think that power moved so much because I was fasting. That was not true. Power did not even move as it should have moved because I was tired. I get the point. It's not this body doing it. I was tired to even say power moves. That's how I just stayed after God did what he could do. I just laid hands on a few persons. And secondary school now, where you have more than 300 to 400 people clustering. And all of them wanted me to lay hands on them. And all of them wanted to meet you after the service to tell you about their father, their grandmother. A lot of stuff. My point is, we fast. But my fast is, keep yourself in a condition where you can pray and study for long. I take 3 days almost every month. I will say almost because some months can really be funny. But almost every month, I will take 3 days off, go stay on my own. That's why I know most every retreat center in this Enugu town. I just go stay there. Some of them are really very good. Some of them have water, constant light for the 3 days you stay there. Some of them are actually very cheap. Because some of them you can get it for 1,500, 2,000. You get the point that you just stay for 3 days there. I'll still tell you guys later. there are many of them. So you just create that kind of time. Go there, sit down there, pray, study. Come out in the evening, buy something, eat, go back. My point is, when you create such long time of prayers and study and listening to teachings and all that, when you are done, you tend to be more conscious of the supernatural around you. That's what happens to all those people that say, we went there, we caught power. It's not just that they caught power. The whole fasting thing keeps you more conscious of the supernatural around you. So please, fast. It will help. Okay, create such times of fasting. Okay, then I would say church helps too. Be in church. I said I was going to say 5 things. Be in church. Be in Christian meetings. When you stay off Christian meeting, sometimes there's a tendency. One of the greatest places I've seen direction be ministered is in church meetings. Look at Acts 13. As they fasted and prayed, the Holy Ghost said, in Christian meetings, directions are ministered often. So stay in church. And let me just talk about staying in church. One thing is, a man of God said, and I agree, he said, we are a people of influence. We are a product of influence. That is the truth. Man is a product of influence, whether you like it or not. For instance, there was this argument I was having. Some people believe that some children are just born somehow. And they grow up to become like this. I don't believe any child is born in hell. I believe every child is born as nothing. Influences make the child what it becomes. You get the point? Influence. When a baby is in the womb, he hears. How many of you know? When a baby is in the womb, they can hear. You notice, when a baby is in the womb, some of you that are fathers or that will soon be. When the baby is in the womb, you find out that the baby is in the womb. If the father stays around a lot, when the father comes in and talks, it will start kicking. He has been trained to recognize the father's voice. All these influences come together to make a person what he becomes. That's why you see families we come from matters a lot. A lot. Now, what led me to that? We are influenced by. So influence, is what makes us. That's why you have to be in church at all times. As often as you can. And you notice when you are in church, especially if you're a person full of desire. When you are in church and you desire the supernatural, you will do them often. Because when you are in a good church, you will always see the supernatural happen. You get the point? Just like people say, sir, I want to teach the word very well. You know, some people meet me and they say things like, sir, how do you study? Because I've been trying to study this, I'm not seeing it. And the advice I normally give them is, be in church. Let me tell you the truth. How I became very good with teaching. I don't even know whether I'm very good. But at least how I could talk and people understand. You know? I was not always born. I didn't grow up to be a teacher of the world. I got saved. I was exposed to, you know, do you want to over there? Take it. That's all I thought about. You know, I told you guys I could minister the Holy Ghost for 8 hours straight. I will not get tired. 8 hours. I've done it. I've done all night. 12 hours. It's you that will get tired. When you fall out, it's just stand up, stand up. Ah, sir, I'm tired. You know, that was me. But teaching came by influence. I started staying around people that could teach. I started listening to teachers a lot. When you listen to teachers a lot, somehow, when you open the Bible, you begin to see what they see when they open it to. So, being around church happens. So, always listening to the word, be in church. Is that a way of influencing you? You notice, like, I've received a lot of praise reports since after Rise of Fact. A lot of people told me something. Somebody told me that morning, you know the morning I said, anything that comes to your head is correct. And the person said, she demonstrated the gift of word of knowledge like she has never demonstrated in her life. It was so clear. What happened? Influences make us. Sometimes you find that, you know, sometimes it's funny. Your friend will just give you something and it's correct. If you just pack up something on your inside and say, now, wow. Let me just give this one I'm carrying. You know, influence. So be in church. I'm telling you the truth. Don't, if you want to be very conscious of the supernatural, don't miss church. I'm not saying it because I'm a pastor. I'm saying it because it's what has made me always be around Christian meetings. The highest number of Christians, the Christians I pity are Christians who want to be in church, but there is no church for them to attend. There is no good church. I pity them a lot. Because at the end of the day, just like I was telling you when we were coming, one of the Christians I fear a lot are believers who don't belong to any church. I'm scared of them very much. But when you learn, because you know why, you know, when you don't belong to any church, anything, and you listen to teachings a lot, anything can fly through. Church has a way of keeping, of you know, telling you, see, don't go here, just stay here. But when you are just saying plenty messages, plenty tapes, plenty books, before you know, you don't even know what to believe again. You get the point? Do you know sometimes it's better to believe error than to believe everything? Because believing everything, you know, there's some Christians that I don't know what their problem. They believe everything. Anyone you see, they say, well, that's another side of it. Well, that's another angle. Well, when you see them, they're not in a church. When someone is in a church, even if it's a bad church, the person will believe error fully. And so you want to help the person know where to start from. You get the point? You know, some people, they don't know the truth. Once you finish teaching, they say, that's Rema. They don't understand it. They believe you. The same way they believe their pastor. So be in church. I'm going to say that church has a way of activating the gift of the Spirit in us. I can tell you, activating the gift of the Spirit in us, activating it fully, and then you begin to, you know, do the things that are left to you. Like I showed you in Ephesians chapter 4, he said he gave them to be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. He said for the perfecting of the saints. That perfecting is maturity. So he tells that the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher exist to mature the body of Christ. He said for the work of ministry. For the work of ministry. So you find out when you are in church, you will be edified, perfected, and then you will be able to function very well in ministry and some other things that God wants you to do. So be in church. But let me put this advice. Always decide to be in church. Decide not to miss church. Okay? Somebody told me, is there no good reason to miss church? I was like, okay, let the reason really be good enough. You get the point? Let the reason be good. Always decide to be in church. When you know your wedding is approaching. You know my wedding is approaching. Glory to God. Yeah. Don't mind me. But the person said something like, if when you get married, are you going to maybe take 2 weeks off? You know those kind of stuff. You understand? Vacation, 2 to 3 weeks vacation, and then come back. Even businessmen don't do that. They want business to collapse. I said, well, I can. But the one I will not do is to take a vacation from church. Any place I'm going, I'll be going to church there.
Before you stay, after 3 weeks, you come back. You are looking at believers. You don't understand the make. Now, 3 weeks can be short anyway, but I'm just telling you how much I don't give such chance. I don't. I can take go for vacation. Even 1 month, I can go. I'll be in church. I'll be in church. Are you getting me? So please, always be in church. Then, still on church, one of the things that happened in church, because I'm going to talk about it, that's the fourth thing I'm going to give you, is laying on of hands. You know, when hands are laid on you, I don't know, sincerely, I can explain this from the Bible, but I can't tell you how it actually happens. I don't know. But I noticed that whenever hands are laid on you, and you are conscious, you consciously receive it, it looks like it's packed up something else in you. I've noticed it. I'm talking from personal experience. It looks like something else, just you don't know where. It might not really be a particular gift. It might be a particular, a different way of doing things. It will just break open from when you consciously receive those hands. That hands laid on you. Consciously. And people ask me, you know, I've answered this question here. When hands are laid on me, can I fall? If I fall, does it not mean I'm a child? I say, well, that's not actually true. If you have been close to me for a very long time, I am one of the people that is very, very giving to laying on of hands. You can lay hands on me and I break this whole seat. I can tell I don't even try to form mature. You say, is it in the Bible? Well, I cannot categorically show you in the Bible. But if it's this way that things happen when hands are laid on people, things happen, even physical things. The example I gave you was Simon. Bible said he came to Peter. Bible said he saw that the Spirit was given to them. You get? This was a total unbeliever or someone that just got born again newly. So he saw. What he saw, he obviously did not see the Spirit jumping into them. He shows there were one or two things they did when the Holy Ghost came into them. Let me get the point. That's why he was able to see. He now told Paul, Peter rather, and said, give me this thing. That wherever I lay, so is that they laid hands on them and they began to pray in tongues, okay? Or they laid hands on them and they began to shout? All I know is that when they laid hands on them, something spectacular happened. Something physical happened that he was able to see. Do you know what I'm saying? Are you getting the point? So be giving to the laying of hands. It will help you. I'm telling you. So people say, why are hands laid on people and then it's like nothing is happening? The answer is simple. Consciously receive it. Whether you fall, whether you stand, consciously receive it. Sometimes when hands are laid on you, I touch on impartations. When hands are laid on you, the man of God may say something. Speak what he said. Sometimes he did not say anything. He just said something. I was praying in tongues. Pick whatever he's saying in tongues from your spirit, man. You get it? But something is being stirred up in you when hands are laid on you. Some other times he will not say anything. I've seen the sick healed by not talking. Just come, place your hands on them, and then important thing is let it be received. You get the point? Let it be received. Sometimes we are preparing for a meeting and I'm just praying. Father, as we go to this meeting, everybody I lay my hands on, we call forth an activation of the gift of healing in them. I've prayed this prayer before I came for the meeting. So when I come to you, I may not need to say anything. I'll just lay hands on you. Words work. I've spoken those words before I came to you. I don't get the point. But lay hands on you, don't begin to jump up. So value it very, very well. Okay? Especially when you have the opportunity, please do. Please do. You know why? You notice in this place, we don't constantly have a laying of hands stuff every service day. Now, I do it so that you value it. I'm just intentional. Okay, I know the value of laying of hands. I tell you, you know, somebody told me something that a guy can fly from Lagos to Enugu just to sleep with a girl. You know, guys can do it. Now, I told the person, I can fly from Enugu to Lagos just for hands to be laid on me. I've done it before, and I do it. Since I'm coming, he said, what, I wanted to pray for me. I'm telling you, you get the point. I value laying of hands very well. It has a way of stirring up. I've told you many stories, some things, even the teaching, whatever. It was one of those meetings. Hands were just a palm. I knew. It's not like when he came and I started knowing something. No. You know, teaching is not about, it's not knowledge. Teaching is being able to communicate it. Have you been under a teacher that is, he knows what he's saying, but you are not able to understand what he was saying? So it's called utterance, it's called clarity. You know, you teach with clarity, people understand you. I knew when such things started functioning in me. It's not a function of intelligence. It came by the Spirit. At the point I was able to communicate and then people began to understand. So what I'm saying is, desire it. When it comes, take it. Okay? It's not, It's not, forget the mess people are making with all over the place. Touch my shoe, come, do this, collect my mantle. Forget all those mess. But when he comes, he has a way of speaking forth. I know one guy, you know, is a bishop. He's worded very well. So one day I was asking him, he flows in the prophetic a lot. So I was asking him about this prophetic stuff. How did you get to this point? So he just laughed. He said, well, what happened to him, that there was one prophet guy, you know, that he that taught him. The guy is dead now. Worded guy that taught him. But he followed the guy a lot for meetings. Followed him around and all that and all that and all that and all that. I'm not talking about 1 year. I'm talking about like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. You know, he said he kept following him. He kept doing. They said then one day the guy just called him and said, come, place things on him. And then from there, he said he was still doing his trial and error thing. But then, consistently, you get the point. This is so, we're people of influence. Be in church, receive the influence. Then finally, on this instruction, like I will always close, I will say, please, engage the supernatural in you at all times. You know, a knowledge not used is useless. You have knowledge. And that you have it, but you don't use it. I told you that the Holy Ghost said to me, and it has not left my head because it came clearly. He said, many people know about faith. He said, but only few have learned to live by faith. This word is for you. And when many of us know these things, just because that was looking for money. That's how the word came. I was looking for money, and I needed money badly. So I was thinking of what to do. So he said, do you know the same way you speak to a short leg and it grows out? That's the same way you speak to money. Talk, you get the point? So I said, okay, wow. I've never bought it when it comes to my finance. Last week I was telling you about miracle of provision, right? How Jesus multiplied 5. And I know those things are possible. So that day I said, okay, if I'm going to dare to live by faith. So I'm going to tell you, dare to practice supernatural. Like I was happy when you told me you went to try to pray for someone. That's how to do it. When you hear this after church, let me tell you the kind of testimonies I want to receive here on Sundays will not be all this testimony of why we expect those testimonies of I was blind, now I can see. We want to see more and more of, you know, you, Pastor, I came with this guy. I just met him along the road. He had this. I prayed for him, so he came along with me to church. That's what we want to be seeing. And it will not happen. That's why you observe that some of you are preparing to go for missions. You will see the power of God in manifestation so much. The reason is once you get into the mission field, once you get into, where is mission field? Mission field is anywhere you go to do the supernatural. Once you get into a place and consciously decide to experience supernatural, you see it happen so much. So engage the supernatural always in you. Find time. Let me tell you something. Be deliberate about this. What I mean is, have a timetable. Okay? Have a timetable. Say, today I'm going to go out on evangelism. Today I'm going, as I go, I'm going to practice supernatural. The same way you plan, by 6 to this, I'm going to read. Plan evangelism in your timetable. What I'm saying is, the world is actually a very busy place. If you don't consciously do this, you will not evangelize. I'm telling you. Because there are a lot of things to do in 24 hours. I told somebody, I just wish God can elongate. 24 hours is now too short. I wish you can reach like, I'm telling you, 32 or 38 hours. Let's manage. But so, you know, the time is short, so you have to compress everything. So, consciously make our time. On Tuesday, I'm going to go to the hospital and I'm going to go and pray. Okay? Do this. I'm going to pray in the hospital, friends. It's one major way to engage the gift of God in you. You know, because in the hospital, you have opportunity to practice everything you have learned. You can come to pray for the sick, and as you are wanting to pray for healing or for miracle, you can also engage your spirit man to get a word of knowledge or whatever concerning the sickness. I don't even get the point. The hospitals are very good places to practice supernatural. So go to hospitals, pray, okay? Get to the street, and then, even aside the consciously making out time, be conscious of the supernatural in the sense that sometimes it might just be in class, on your workplace. You guys are just talking. Learn to seize the opportunity. Don't let it sleep. Just like preaching to people. That's how I advise you to preach. Learn to seize the opportunity. If we are just gisting, we are just talking about just random talks, and I just be careful to know when it's time to talk. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, it can just be random gist.
Maybe just business talk we are talking. Or class talk. Listen, okay. One of my friends, I know, he was telling me of how he made his first $1 million. I've told you the story, right? How he made his very first $1 million. It's not Naira. $1 million. These are the kind of friends I like keeping. Don't beg me for money. So he said, what happened is, he said he was talking with his friend. A very rich guy, the father is actually very wealthy. The father of this is his friend. So he has a very big conglomerate that he runs in Nigeria. Okay, and then there was something he was meant to do. I don't want to get into details. Yes, I'll just talk. Sorry to pick it. So he was meant to choose either black or white. It's not bet. You know, they told, you know, this stock market thing. And they brought something for him to sign. So in the course of the whole whatever. So he's using his business, his friend, using his business, whatever. He chose A. Let's use A now. He chose A. And wrote A. Told him, go downstairs. Tell these guys downstairs that I've chosen A. You know. And then my guy said, as he was going downstairs. I call him my guy. It's my mate too. He said, as he was going downstairs. On the lift. He said he had in his spirit man that it should be B and not A. He did a very crazy thing. He said he knew. He just said it should be B and not A. So he said if I tell this would that it should be B, they might call this guy to confirm. Did you choose B? So he now brought a paper and wrote B and forged the guy's signature just to be able to drive the word he gave him. You know, you get the point. And this was a deal that the guy could either gain $20 million US dollars or lose it. So he just went and said to them, I said, okay, he chose B. He said, are you sure? He said, yes. Give him the paper. Okay. They went. This happened on Friday. By Monday, what I'm saying is, be sensitive. This wasn't a church service. Okay, but if I'm sensitive to the Holy Ghost, you just know. So by Monday, the newspaper was out. The stock market has gone different ways. And then the guy was seeing he has made the wrong choice. That's his friend. So he said, he got to the office. His friend was already shouting. Man, I just lost $20 million. He said his heart skipped. You know, he thought maybe it was the wrong choice he made. So he now asked his friend, have you really checked, called to be sure you lost it or you gained it? Last, Shah, it was his B choice was correct. So the guy was like, but I chose A. Why? I chose A. He said, yes, I know you chose A, but I know A was not going to work. So I went for B. He said, how did you know? He says the Holy Ghost in me. The guy looked at him and said, man, give me account number, $1 million US dollars, life, it is account. You know, that's the kind you want. You know, that was just it. He just said, man, this Holy Ghost thing, this people's Holy Ghost thing is working, though. You know, he just gave him. Point is, be sensitive, engage whatever you find yourself. Engage it, any opportunity that provides itself, that comes, just use it to help my friend. Even when you're traveling, okay, be conscious of everything. When you're in class, when you're around, always engage. The more you engage it, the more you learn to engage itself. And the more accurate you get with some of these things. You get the point? The more accurate you would get with it. Okay, so I talked about a lot of things today. Church, laying of hands. For instance, you know, you heard of T.L. Osborne's story. T.L. Osborne, you know, I told you in the program that T.L. Osborne went to India at 19. You remember? Uh-huh. He went there for missions with his wife. They spent 3 fruitless years in India and came back frustrated. Okay, they spent 3. Yeah, they just came back. He said nothing happened. They even went with food. They went with clothes. They were sharing food. Those people, you know, India now is Hindu, a bit Buddha, whichever one. So they were not even listening to them. He said it was when he came back. That's why he said he came back and then went for, they came back to US frustrated, and then they went for a meeting. They heard a man of God, a popular man of God, was coming to town. So they went to the meeting where the guy was. So he said they saw miracles like raw. He said he turned and looked at his wife and said, this is the answer. You know, such Christian meetings as they were setting up, you know, his wife said, this is the answer. This is what we, so they were praying. He said as the things were happening, he was tearing up passion in them. And then from there, they went, met the man. The man laid hands on them and came back and went into a long fast, like 3-4 days. And God gave them some instructions and they returned back to India. And then everything exploded. We saw miracles. We saw lepers getting well. I get the point. So expose yourself to Christian meetings. Expose the laying of hands then. Fasting, prayers. Engage the supernatural. You get what happened was the last time they went, they were just preaching. They were not attempting to pray for the sick. They were just doing their thing. So take the five instructions I gave you. Pray in the Holy Ghost often. Be in church. Fast. Fast. Then allow hands to be laid on you. Receive it very well, and then engage the supernatural in you. And we're going to have of expressions of the Spirit in us. Hallelujah. Just bow your heads and pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. Bow your heads, pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Spirit.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.